podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is a letter that Paul wrote to a young pastor that he was mentoring. And Paul, as he wrote this letter, was coming toward the end of his life, the end of his ministry, and he unleashed some very powerful words to this young man that he was mentoring. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 6. Follow as I read verses 6 through 8 of 2 Timothy 4. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Father, we thank you that you indeed are the righteous judge. And Father, that we stand before you as the decider of our fate, as our God, as our Father. Teach us from your word this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last year, Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft and one of the richest men alive, spoke to some high school students. And here are some of the comments that he made. He said, first of all, that your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. In some schools, they've abolished failing grades, and they'll give you as many times as you want to get the right answer. And then he said, this does not bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. Then he said that television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop and go to jobs. Bill Gates also said, be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one. Anybody here work for a nerd? Anybody here a nerd? Okay. All right, respect the nerds. He said, if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault. So don't whine about your mistakes, learn from them. Bill Gates said, if you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. And then, perhaps the wisest words that came from Bill Gates that day, he said, life is not fair. Get used to it. Interesting words. Life is not fair. And I think we've all experienced large doses of life's unfairness. I mean, can you agree with me that life doesn't seem to be fair at all? The innocent often take the blame while the guilty walk away unpunished. Have you noticed that? We're treated unfairly because of the color of our skin or the family we were born into or the way that we look or a handicap or something that we have absolutely no control over. Those who refuse to go to work get assistance, and those who work hard struggle and go broke. The good die young, while the evil live long and prosper. Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Doesn't seem to be fair. And we have all witnessed the unfairness of life in one way or another. Maybe you, like me, have said out loud at one time or another, what did I do to deserve this? Have you said that recently? Why me? Have you ever said that? Well, Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is coming to the end of his life. He looks back briefly and he says, I have fought the good fight. He says, I have finished the race. I've come now to the end. I have kept the faith. But then he looks ahead and he says, now there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And the question that I would have for Paul, if I were Timothy, is this. You've lived in this unfair world all of your life. You've experienced all of the unfair situations that this world can deal out. And Paul was in a lot of those situations where he was not treated fairly. And the question I would have for Paul is, how can you be so sure that things are going to turn out okay? How can you be so sure that there's going to be a crown of righteousness at the end of this? How do you know that after it's all been said and done, that you think you fought the good fight, that you think that you kept the faith, but then when you stand before God in eternity, what happens if you just get gypped? Because that's the way life seems to treat us. Life just isn't fair. Well, Paul has confidence that things will turn out right in the end and that he will receive the crown of righteousness, not based on himself, but there's some important words in the midst of that verse. It's based on someone that he calls the righteous judge. It's based on the righteous judge, the Lord, I will receive the crown of righteousness. He doesn't say it's not because I've been such a great guy. He says there is a God who is fair. And because God is fair, in the end, things will be fair. Life may not be fair, but God is. So what does the Word have to say about it? We don't have a whole lot of time to tell a whole bunch of stories today. And you know, so this sermon may seem a little bit thin as far as the length is concerned, but I can tell you it is thick as far as content is concerned. This is some very deep stuff. What does the Word of God say about the fairness of God? Well, one of the things that God's Word says is that God rewards the righteous. God rewards the righteous. There is a reward for those who are righteous. The Word of God teaches that from cover to cover. You just can't miss it. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. We read, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." If you love him, if you keep his commands, he will keep his covenant with you. There is a reward for those who do righteousness. If you are righteous and you act consistently with the righteousness of God, God will reward you. If you keep his commands, if you walk the straight and narrow, no matter what else happens in this life, there is waiting for you a reward at the end. God knows you. He sees you. He understands you, your hidden motives, all of that. And he is absolutely and completely fair. So if you deserve to be rewarded as a result of your good works, you will be rewarded by God, according to Scripture. But let's look at the other side of the coin. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote these words. He said, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." In other words, God's anger, God's punishment is coming down against those who have not done good, who are not righteous, those who are wicked and godless. And then skipping down to verse 32 of the same chapter, Paul said, "Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them." Paul was saying this, that those who act unrighteously will be punished by God. Why? Because God is fair. God not only rewards the righteous, but God punishes the unrighteous. Those who do things that are inconsistent with the righteousness of God will also be treated fairly. They will receive the punishment that they deserve. Now, sometimes when I find myself saying things like, "What did I do to deserve this?" Now, some of you have said that before. What did I do to deserve this? It doesn't take me long to write a long list of things that I did to deserve this. And then I start to wonder, maybe God's just being fair. When I ask the question, "Why me?" In the same breath, I hear myself say, "Well, why not me? Why not me?" Because I know myself. I know my sin. I know my secret thoughts. I know my motives. I know who I am, my selfishness, my flesh, my wrong attitudes. I know all of that about me. And God is fair, and I am a sinner. God is fair, and I am a sinner. So God rewards the righteous, and he punishes the unrighteous. So based on those 2 points, number 1 and 2, we need to be perfect. Because if we're not perfect, we'll be separated from the life of God. We will get what we deserve, death. Fortunately, that's not where the Word of God ends. It doesn't end there at all. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 5. Paul writes, "For if by the trespass of the one man," he's talking about Adam and his sin, we're all related to Adam and his sin, "if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" He continues, "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. And then, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." Breaking all that down, what it says is we're all relatives of Adam, we're all sinners, we all deserve death. However, there is a way that God has made through his Son, Jesus Christ, this one man who has done perfectly what is righteous if we put our faith in him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 puts it this way, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So let's put it this way. God rewards the righteous. God punishes the unrighteous. But praise God, God accepts Christ's punishment. God accepts Christ's punishment. So take a deep breath and realize this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is fair and you are a sinner. Therefore, you deserve death. But for those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross and took our place there on the cross, God accepts his punishment for you. So rather than you having to serve the time and do the punishment, rather than you having to die that death, Jesus took that punishment for you. And if you put your faith in him, God accepts Christ's punishment on your behalf. Because he died and rose again, you don't need to die for your sins. God is fair. God punishes our sin. But instead of punishing our sin in us, instead of punishing you for your sin, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the punishment has already been taken care of in him. God accepts Christ's punishment. It's an amazing truth. And it seems like enough, but see, that even that's not enough. For not only does God accept Christ's punishment, but number four, God accredits Christ's righteousness. God accredits Christ's righteousness. Oh, look at this verse with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it'll clear it up for you. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is where we kind of started, talking about the fact that God rewards the righteous, God punishes the unrighteous. So you say, well, I'm not righteous, so I don't deserve a reward. I'm unrighteous, so I deserve the punishment. Well, then we continue, we track along, we say, well, wait a second. Christ took your punishment, so you don't need to be punished. But however, there's more to it than just that. God also accredits Christ's righteousness, so you receive the reward if you put your faith in him. Because God is fair. God is fair. And you are a sinner. You deserve to die for your sins. But Jesus Christ took your punishment and God accepted his punishment on your behalf. But you add to that, however, that you are not righteous and therefore you do not deserve the reward that God offers for righteousness. However, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ is accredited to you. So when Christ looks upon you, or when God looks upon you, rather than seeing you in your sin, he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. You are fully acceptable to him and worthy of reward. So Paul could say with confidence, there's coming a day when I will stand before the throne of God and I will receive the crown of righteousness. Why? Because Paul was perfect? Certainly not, if you know the story of Paul. He would be the last one. He called himself the chief of sinners. Paul doesn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But Christ took our punishment on the cross, And then his righteousness is accredited to us if we put our faith in him. You stand before God as righteous as Jesus Christ, because Christ's righteousness has been applied to you. And you see what I mean by, you know, the length of the sermon might be thin, but the content is pretty thick. This is incredible. This is the gospel. This is what it's all about. You will not be punished by the righteous judge, because the judge has accepted Christ's punishment as yours. And you will be rewarded, even though you don't deserve it, because the righteous judge has accredited Christ's righteousness as your righteousness. His punishment is your punishment. His righteousness is your righteousness. God is fair. And he has decreed that Christ's punishment and righteousness are the remedy for your sin. Now, what does it matter today? What does it matter today? Now, I wish we could talk a whole long time about the fact that, yes, life is not fair. We live in a broken world, so things don't always happen the way they should happen. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do, and it kind of creeps up on us and surprises us. You know, this week we heard that Landon is now our son, adopted officially, legally into our family. I'll tell you how that thrilled us. That thrilled us. Sometimes things work out the way you believe they should work out. But let me tell you something. Sometimes they don't. You've experienced, and I've experienced that, and it breaks our heart when it happens. It just doesn't seem fair. But we do know this, that we have a God who is fair. And in the end, when all the accounting is done and all of the judging is over, everything will be as it should be. So, because of that, you can entrust God with today. Entrust God with today. Say, God, I trust you for today. I know that you are capable of handling this, God. I may not be. Things may seem unfair. You know, I may look at my life and say there are a lot of things that should have gone better, but they didn't for one reason or another. Tony Evans could look back on his life and say, I remember what it was like in the streets of Baltimore growing up as a young African-American male, and I wasn't treated right, and people told me I would never break through the ceiling, I would never get to a certain place. But then he can look at it back at it and say, but you know what? God is fair. And now, you know, Tony Evans was the first black doctoral graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, pastor of a great church in Dallas, heard over the radio waves across this country, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of my heroes. Because God has been fair in his life. God is fair, and he will set things straight. You can entrust him with today, even when it doesn't seem fair. When you've got trouble, when you have struggles, just take a deep breath and say, God knows what he's doing. He's in control. I can trust in him. But you can also entrust God with tomorrow. Never forget that. Things are tanking today and things seem horrible today. You can trust God with tomorrow. Like Paul, you can rely on the fairness of the righteous judge to reward you, because that reward is not based on what you have done, but on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't deserve the reward. You don't deserve the reward. I don't deserve the reward, but Christ made us fit to receive the reward through what he did on the cross. We're about to celebrate that here at the table in just a few moments, to remember what he did for us. That's the importance of it. You don't have to worry about whether you are good enough for heaven or not. You're not good enough for heaven, so just give that up. I'm not good enough for heaven. I don't deserve that reward at all. There's no crown of righteousness that I have earned. However, I stand before God in the incredible righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he died for me. There was a cabinet maker who's also a Baptist pastor in England who wrote a beautiful hymn that we sing from time to time. And the hymn ends like this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you dressed in the righteousness of Christ? Are you dressed in his righteousness? Will you be able to stand before the throne of God faultless? Let me tell you, you won't be able to do it in these rags. The rags of my behavior, of my life record. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to stand before God on that. I'm trying my best. I'm doing my best, but there's a lot of flesh involved there. I get to stand before God dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, faultless before the throne, not because of me, but because of him. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. If you will stand before the throne faultless, if you will be dressed in his righteousness alone, you have only God to thank for his grace for you. So we come to this table this morning to remember him. Faultless, because he took your punishment. Righteous, because his righteousness has been credited to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a fair God, that everything in this world, although it seems out of control, will eventually end the way it's supposed to end. And everything will be set straight the way it's supposed to be set straight. But how we thank you for your grace, that we will not stand before you on our own record, but instead on the record of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for each one that's here. Father, first of all, that we have received that gift. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has not received the gift of grace in Jesus Christ, who is not dressed in his righteousness alone, Father, that they might turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as their Lord and Savior this morning, that they might have this incredible gift. Father, I pray for us as believers. Lord, sometimes we just need a reminder. As we get ready to come before this table for that reminder, Lord, thank you that we have a Savior from sin, a righteous Savior who gave his life for us, who stood in our place as our substitute, and who has justified us before you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.